Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Monday, July 29th, 2024. I'm Steven Jensen. Hope you all had a great week and a great weekend. Sorry this is a late Monday upload for y'all, but I know that's been a theme lately. Last night, with good reason, there was GCW Bloodsport. I had to watch that show, of course, and then went to sleep. Had to do my shoot job today, and I'm just now having a chance to record the podcast for y'all, but I didn't want to do this without including Bloodsport since it was such a big show. And I apologize, but as always, I appreciate y'all for, you know, listening when you can, regardless of when I upload. So thank you very much, as always, for the support and all the positive feedback. You know, I'll leave feedback, of course, here on FightfulSelect.com or over on my X or Twitter at FightTalk_. But yeah, that's kind of the reason this is on Monday. Yeah, preferably, I do these on Sundays, preferably Sunday afternoons. But there's just been a lot of, you know, Sunday night shows that I want to cover. And then, you know, personal stuff. I got sick the other week. It's just been kind of one thing after another that's, you know, prevented the Sunday uploads. But, you know, like I said, if I could, I would do it every Sunday for y'all. But there's been circumstances lately that it's been Mondays. But, you know, as always, appreciate y'all for listening. And I don't know if the next upload will be on Sunday or Monday because I don't always look ahead to all the stuff that I'll be covering. And I know I'll be at Limp Bizkit next Sunday, or at least that's the plan. I'm an 80s kid technically, 1988, but grew up in the 90s. I'm a big Limp Bizkit fan. I've never got to see them live, and they'll be in Atlanta, Georgia. So if the weather holds up next Sunday, I plan on being there. But unless there's something big I need to cover on Sunday, I'll try to do the Weekender for y'all before Sunday night. So the plan is next Sunday afternoon, unless there's some big shows that I have to catch up on, and then, you know, Monday at the latest for y'all. So that all said, let's get into the topics and jump into it because we got a lot of good stuff to talk about this week. We got results for GCW, Josh Barnett's Bloodsport. We got BLP, Old Habits Die Screaming. HOG, High Intensity. ETU, Summer Madness 2. TWE, Red Bank Roulette. Glory Pro, Bleed American, which technically hasn't aired yet, so it's kind of a spoiler kind of results, but I'm going to give you all the results for Glory Pro's Bleed American. I'm assuming those matches are probably going to air on upcoming episodes of Glory Pro Ascend, which we cover here regularly over on the, we cover it here, but it's available over on the Glory Pro YouTube with pre-recorded matches. But nonetheless, I will give you the results for Glory Pro today for Bleed American. Got results for NXT Level Up, NWA Power, and I'll wrap up today's show with some quick predictions for WWE SummerSlam, because that is next Saturday at the time of this recording. And I want to get my predictions out there for y'all, because I won't be doing an episode of the Weekender before then. But if you want detailed predictions and some giveaways, make sure to watch the Spotlight this Thursday morning and every Thursday morning on the main Fightful YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/Fightful. Every Thursday morning, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time, myself and Jeremy Lambert talk the world of wrestling. We talk AEW, WWE, Indies, whole bunch of stuff, and we have interviews for y'all as well. The most recent interview was with Jameson Shook, who recently won the Action Wrestling Future Showcase, which we covered right here on the show on the Weekender. So please check out that interview with Jameson Shook over on the Spotlight. And I will be giving away, along with Jeremy, some free entries for Wrestle Rumble. We will have the Wrestle Rumble SummerSlam Pick'em Contest. And if you want some free entries for that contest to win some big prizes, then, you know, please make sure to watch the Spotlight, because we're going to give away some prizes, or some free entries, rather, live for potential prizes over on WrestleRumble.com. So I will definitely give you some quick SummerSlam predictions before we leave today on the Weekender. So that all being said, let's start off with the first topic, which is results for GCW. This is Josh Barnett's Bloodsport. I think it's Bloodsport 11, and that was last night. So this was on July 28th. Available over on Triller TV Plus. This was from New York City. And of course, this was presented by Game Changer Wrestling. We were coming off of the most recent Bloodsport, you know, prior to this was a non-GCW branded Bloodsport, which I covered right here on the Weekender when that went down. It was a great event. I love all these Bloodsport events because I'm a lifelong fan of not just you know, professional wrestling, but also mixed martial arts. So this type of, you know, a niche, you know, presentation of professional wrestling, it's very much, you know, very much in my realm of fandom, you can say, you know, taking two of my favorite things, putting them together. And I know this isn't for everybody. Not everyone gets into this type of professional wrestling, this work shoot style. UWFI style, hybrid type rules of pro wrestling. I get it, but I think that of all the companies, that attempt to do this stuff, there's some good ones out there, not just Bloodsport, but I think Bloodsport does have the best presentation and consistently involve the highest level kind of hybrid MMA athletes that, would make sense in a mixed martial arts scenario. Some of them who have MMA backgrounds, like legitimate backgrounds that we're going to go through with the results today and stuff. So I think Bloodsport does the best job of this presentation, but I also understand, there's stuff like Raw Underground, for instance, that was like a very corny presentation of something like this. So, but that said, I was very happy that this was a GCW branded Bloodsport because it was included in Triller TV Plus's package, which I'm not endorsed or sponsored to tell you to sign up, but it is part of that package, which the last Bloodsport was not. And that was my only critique of the last one, was it was from Japan, which was really sweet. It was an awesome presentation for the last show, but it was like a traditional pay-per-view that cost, I think, like $30. And my only gripe was I get all the other Bloodsport events on Triller TV Plus as a part of the package. I wanted that too. But nonetheless, we are where we are, and Bloodsport 11 happened last night. Here are the results. We had Hedy Caraway over Brian Johnson. The opener here was the finish here was a Hammerlock Rings of Saturn combination. Really good looking stuff from Caraway to get the submission win there. Once again, Hammerlock Rings of Saturn. I don't think I've really seen that done the way that it was done. I've seen plenty of hammerlocks. This was basically a double wrist lock or a Kimura, but in like a Rings of Saturn way. It, very, very innovative, and I would not be surprised if I see more wrestlers kind of steal that move going forward, because it looked pretty brutal. Combination of two really sweet submission holds. After that, we had Julius Creed, who, of course, is on WWE programming as a part of the Creed brothers. His brother, Brutus, was on the show as well. But we had some WWE... we had another WWE person on here too, which we'll get to, in Charlie Dempsey. But a lot of crossover here, which is really cool, from WWE contracted wrestlers. Julius Creed, the first of the WWE, people to be involved in this show and this match. Y'all know I love Matt Mikowski. He's perfect for this setting. I was talking about people who make the most sense to be consistently performing in these kind of environments. Matt Mikowski is like the first name that would come to mind, considering he has an actual history in companies like Bellator, major mixed martial arts promotions. I mean, the man legitimately beat Joe Schilling in an actual fight. And if y'all don't know who Joe Schilling is, he's one of the most just like brutal kickboxers I've ever seen in my life, in like history. The dude's crazy. More reasons than one. Had done some stuff that wasn't a great look as well, but for the most part, anyway, you can do your own research and all that stuff. My point is, Joe Schilling is a badass kickboxer, and Matt Mikowski defeated him in MMA, which I just think is incredible. Julius Creed gets the win over Mikowski in this one. The finish here, I wrote down cartwheel slam, basically like a scoop slam, but Julius does it with like a cartwheel, like off impact, does like kind of like a handstand into a cartwheel to land on his feet. And then when Mikowski's kind of like sitting down on the ground, Julius hits him with a seated lariat and then follows up with some ground and pound to get the TKO win with the ref stoppage. So once again, Julius Creed over Matt Mikowski. After the match, by the way, Mikowski tweeted, I'm going to paraphrase here, but he tweeted something to the effect of, I've had tons of matches, I've wrestled tons of opponents, and he basically puts over Julius Creed as like the most athletic, maybe the best talent. I don't want to put words in his mouth because I don't have the tweet in front of me, but he really put over Julius's athleticism as like one of the best guys he's ever been in the ring with, which is a pretty high honor coming from Mikowski, who has wrestled so many different people with so many different styles. And for him to say that about Julius in this environment means even more, I think. After that, we had Masha Slamovich over Jody Threat. The finish of this one was a sleeper suplex followed up by a Shining Wizard and then ground and pound by Masha to get the TKO victory with the ref stoppage. After that, we had Royce Isaacs, who there's been times in history when he was on Team Filthy with Tom Lawler, for instance, and Tom would call him Hoyce Isaacs. I feel like Hoyce Isaacs is a better name for Bloodsport because of Hoyce Gracie. If y'all know the history there, the Gracie family basically started the UFC. And Hoyce Gracie was like the poster boy of the beginning of the UFC, because he was like this small guy who weighed like, you know, 160, 170 pounds or whatever it was. And he was choking out guys twice his size because he knew Brazilian jiu-jitsu and they didn't. So just a little background there of like, I just, whenever I see the name Royce Isaacs, I want to call him Hoyce Isaacs in this setting because I've heard Filthy Tom do it. He defeats Charlie Dempsey, who I mentioned, of course, obviously in the WWE system, competes regularly on NXT and is the real life son of William Regal. The finish here was Dempsey kind of getting a taste of his own medicine. Isaacs puts him in a STF, but instead of like a traditional STF, he puts him in kind of like a bulldog choke. With it, so really nice, and Dempsey winds up actually tapping out. So I don't know if you consider it an upset. I think I do, probably, and a lot of people I know we're calling it an upset. I mean, the grand scheme of things, I mean, like, Dempsey came in and he beat Mikowski in the first blood sport. Isaacs is a guy who's had a great run, you know, worldwide and outside of, you know, mainstream television, you know, outside of AEW, outside of WWE. And I figured Dempsey, I honestly just figured Dempsey wouldn't be losing to anybody, you know, I just didn't. And so I was surprised to see Isaacs get this win, but I'm happy to see it because he's a guy who's been busting his ass and he's been, you know, performing great in these types of settings all over the world in different settings too, but like specifically Bloodsport, he's been doing really well in all their events. So I'm happy to see him kind of get his flowers with this. Once again, I consider it to be a upset win over Charlie Dempsey. After that, we had Speedball Mike Bailey over Akira. Gets the win in like 3 minutes. This was a quick one. Gets the win with a left high kick, Mirko Krokop style. If y'all know the saying, the old school saying for Krokop, a.k.a. Mirko Filipovich, the old saying was right leg hospital, left leg cemetery, because his basically finishing move, his signature move in MMA, which, you know, not many people have. It's hard to have like a finishing or a signature move or whatever you want to call it in MMA, because obviously the fights aren't predetermined, or at least they shouldn't be. There have been fights in history that have been in companies like Pride. It was kind of prevalent in some cases. Once again, do your own research on all that stuff. That's a rabbit hole I don't want to go down because it'll take me the entire podcast just explaining that. But the reason I bring that up is because Mirko Krokop was one of my favorite fighters of all time. This heavyweight dude from Croatia, and he was literally known for the left high kick because he finished so many opponents, including Alberto Del Rio. You can go back and see him in a mask years ago losing to Krokop. But Krokop would finish so many of his fights by left high kick that it was dubbed like his finishing move, which is just so badass. And I love to see guys like Speedball Mike Bailey be able to execute the move with perfection, and that's what he did. This was really cool. So yeah, homage to Krokop as far as I'm concerned, but Speedball Mike Bailey gets the win over Akira by TKO with a left high kick. And after the match, or after the fight rather, Akira basically starts like kind of fighting referees and has to be held back. And eventually he comes to, and him and Speedball show some respect, but, they try to really sell the effects of the flash knockout in that one. After that, we had Brutus Creed over Filthy Tom Lawler. Of course, Brutus, the brother of Julius, that I was mentioning before. Both Creed brothers on WWE television, so this is really cool to see. Both Creeds got a really big reaction, by the way, from the live crowd. I should probably mention that. They fit really well in this environment. And they have a history, of course, in like martial arts, specifically in like amateur wrestling. But I don't know all their martial arts background, but it's very clear that they were high-level amateur wrestlers. Brutus gets the win. Brutus gets to win in this one after hitting a gut wrench powerbomb, followed up by a seated lariat. So similar finish to his brother with that seated lariat, and the referee stops the fight after the TKO from the lariat. After that, we had Homicide over Mike Santana by referee's decision. What winds up happening here is Homicide basically puts Santana in an STF, and Santana's in the middle of the ring. There's no rope breaks or anything because there's no ropes in a match like this. And he just passes out in the middle of the ring. The referee stops the fight, and Homicide wins by technical knockout, referee's decision, or technical submission, I should say, referee stoppage. After that, we had Josh Barnett over Bad Dude Tito by technical knockout. The finish of this one was a left high kick similar to the Speedball fight, but this kick does not put down Tito. Josh Barnett, someone who's very familiar with Mirko Krokop from their days in Pride, both legitimate OG MMA. I mean, for those of you who don't know, Josh Barnett was the first ever, or not the first ever, but the at the time, the youngest ever UFC heavyweight champion. And you know, once again, y'all can do all your research on that and why he wasn't the champion anymore and what happened to the title and what happened with him and some other major major organizations. And so Josh Barnett's got a wild history in the sport as well. But of course, he is the name behind the current version of Bloodsport, which was once, you know, Matt Riddle's Bloodsport. People forget that. But Josh Barnett gets the win over Bad Dude Tito. Once again, hits a left high kick, but that doesn't put Tito away. So he follows up with a spinning heel kick and then ground and pound. The referee stops it, and Barnett gets the win. After that, we had Josh Woods versus Timothy Thatcher. This ends in a double count-out draw. They basically fight on the outside, and they're both trying to fight to get back into the ring, and the referee counts to 10 before either can get back in. I mean, this was good stuff while it lasted. I will say, and this isn't to knock anybody because I'm kind of singling them out here, but it was pretty shocking to me, the lack of reaction for Josh Woods. I think I was super talented, and he had a really good run on Ring of Honor TV in, like, you know, pretty recent memory. So I'm just kind of surprised at, like, the lack of reaction for him. It happened during the walkouts when they introduced all the fighters before the fight started. And then, you know, for his actual entrance against Thatcher, just, like, it was like nobody knew who he was, or I don't know. It was strange because, like I said, the guy's very talented and he's had more exposure, you know, worldwide than, you know, a decent amount of the people on the show. So I was surprised by the lack of reaction. Let's put it that way. But I thought, you know, the actual in-ring stuff between the two was good. And the fans did not like the double count out, and either did I. So, but I get what they're trying to do here. I don't know if it had to do with really, like, protecting one guy or another, as much as maybe just a variety here that, like, anything can happen. They're trying to make this look like this is legitimate, and in a legitimate fight, sometimes things would happen to prevent people from actually getting back in the ring. So, I mean, it is what it is, but a little confusion there in a few different ways. But once again, I'm a fan of both guys, and they both totally make sense to be a part of Bloodsport. And the main event of the show, we had Shayna Baszler over Miyu Yamashita. The finish here was Yamashita throwing a kick that Baszler catches. She picks her up upside down, kind of in like the strong zero, like crunchy position that you'd see someone like, you know, Trent Beretta do for his finisher. But Shayna keeps pulling Yamashita up higher, up towards the top of her body, and kind of turns it into a tombstone piledriver and just spikes Yamashita headfirst into the mat. Tombstone piledriver, follows up with a little bit of ground and pound, like some punches to the face. The referee jumps in, and Baszler gets the win by TKO. After the show, Baszler basically puts over Josh Barnett, because if y'all don't know the history, Baszler has had a lot of training throughout the years, I mean, for decades at this point, under the tutelage of Josh Barnett. So the two of them are very close, and it's a big deal for her to be a part of the show. Now, something major that happened during the show that I want to talk about now, that I wanted to circle back to this because it deserves kind of its own spotlight here, if you will, but definitely worth mentioning. After the Josh Barnett match with Bad Dude Tito, he was in the ring and the crowd was chanting for Josh Barnett in celebration for his victory. And MVP came in the ring and went face to face with Barnett and basically said, you know, they basically talked about how they have history with one another. They trained with each other in the past years ago. And MVP challenges Barnett to an upcoming Bloodsport match. And Barnett, of course, accepts the challenge, and they're doing it as like this is friendly between one another. There's been a lot of speculation about MVP's, you know, future, and will he be with the WWE going forward? Will he go to AEW? Will he reunite the Hurt Business? What all is going to be going on with MVP? Well, all we know right now is that MVP at some point in the near future is heading to Bloodsport to take on Josh Barnett. So once again, that is Bloodsport. That's Bloodsport 11 over on Triller TV Plus. Moving on, got results for BLP. This is Black Label Pro. Old Habits Die Screaming. Available also on Triller TV Plus. The show took place out of Logan Square Auditorium in Chicago, Illinois. And this was on July 26th. These are the results. We had a dark match where Conan Lycan defeated Percy Drews. And the show actually started We start off with a triple threat match. Davey Bang defeats Alec Price and August Matthews. Davey Bang and August Matthews, of course, the former Bang Bros, the current Bang and Matthews tag team. So pretty wild seeing the three of them in a triple threat. That also involved Alec Price. All three guys are super, super talented in the ring. The finish here was Davey Bang hitting a 450 off the top rope onto Alec Price and getting the 1-2-3. After that, we had a tag team match where Lee Espresso, the team of Maggie Lee and Ming Jae Lee, defeat Hot Commodity, the team of Trevor Outlaw and Hayden Backlund. The finish here was a wheelbarrow and top rope leg drop combination onto Backlund for the three count. After that, we had Myron Reed over Riku Gonzalez. The finish of this one, this was nuts. I cannot do this justice, but Myron Reed does a cutter by jumping over the top rope to the outside, hitting a cutter onto Riko when they both fly into the crowd, and Riko takes the cutter onto the first row of chairs in the audience. Amazing spot by both guys. Like, I talk about it all the time, how big a fan of I am of both Myron Reed and Riko Gonzalez, and just how innovative. And whenever I talk about Riko, like, I talked about him recently when Scott Hensley was on the Spotlight a couple weeks ago previewing the SCI tournament. My description of Riko was like, there are very few guys that are just like going for it to the level he is. It's hard to explain what I mean by that, but like, really the best way to kind of describe it is like, the guy's just really not afraid to take risks, and he's not putting himself in like a really compromising position or like really taking like a more of like an injury risk, I feel like, than anyone else. What I really mean by that is like thinking outside of the box and doing stuff that, like, even if it doesn't always look 100%, you know, 100% how it should sometimes, the fact he's going for it is like, it's very hard to explain what I'm trying to say. There's stuff I've seen him do where it's like, that wasn't exactly what he was going for, but I know what he was going for, and if that would have worked out, it would have been sick. And then, like, I'll see him do it, like, the next match, and he nails it. You know what I mean? He's, like, constantly fine-tuning stuff and thinking outside of the box and being innovative. And Myron Reed's one of the most innovative guys in the game. So I love this match between these two. You know, Myron Reed, well, way more established, you know, at this point of his career, but Riko, you know, as a guy who will be one of the top indie talents, you know, going forward, and it's just a matter of time. He's pretty much already there, in my opinion. It's just a matter of getting in front of more people and you know, more opponents all over the place and stuff. But yeah, this was great stuff. And like I said, the finish was awesome. Myron Reed jumps over the top, stunner into the, or a cutter into the crowd, into the chairs into the crowd, and then he rolls him into the ring, hits him with a top rope 450 splash to steal the deal, 1-2-3. After that, we had the BLP tag team titles on the line. Latinos Most Wanted, the team of Cota Hernandez and Sabin Gage, defend and retain their titles over Twist and Flip, the team of Darren Fly and Nate Cobain. The finish of this one was a double team Death Valley Driver and top rope double stomp combo by Latinos Most Wanted to get the win and retain their titles. After that, we had Trevor Lee returning to the indies with short hair. Trevor Lee gets the win over Eli Isom, hits him with the cave-in. Eli Isom had like blood in his eyes, got some color during this one, but you know, basically had like blood in his eyes, kind of blinding him, and Trevor Lee hit that running, you know, standing double stomp, the cave in to get the 1-2-3. After the match, Trevor Lee puts over Eli on the microphone. After that, we had a 6-person tag team match where Dex Royal and the highlight reel, the team of Damon and Damian Reel, they defeat the team of PME, Marina Tenaglia, and Philly Collins, along with Teriyaki. The finish of this one is Dex reversing Teriyaki's suplex attempt into a destroyer, following up with Black Mass, or whatever you want to call that move. Basically, like the spinning heel kick, but like the MMA version of it. I call it Black Mass, Aleister Black, Malakai Black, whatever. I feel like he kind of popularized that move as far as like in pro wrestling. So that's why I usually refer to it that way. But y'all know what move I'm talking about. We're going to say Black Mass, 1-2-3, for the win for Dex Royal and the highlight reel. After that, we had the BLP Arbo's Cheese Dip Big Cheese title match. Bunch of interference during this one. We had Puff over Rachel Armstrong. The finish here was, once again, a bunch of interference and stuff happens. They fight over the title belt playing tug of war. Eventually, Rachel runs at Puff. Puff catches her with a Rikishi driver and then covers for the 1-2-3. Puff is the big cheese. After that, we had the BLP Heavyweight title #1 contendership on the line. So the winner gets a shot at the BLP Championship in the future. He had Joshua Bishop over Jake something. Finish here was Bishop pulling Jake off the top rope and then hitting a sit-out Bishop bomb for the 1-2-3. Y'all know how I feel about Josh Bishop and Jake something, two of my favorite guys to watch. It's great to see Bishop's finally getting some love in TNA, and can't wait to see where his future goes. Y'all have probably sick of hearing me talk about Joshua Bishop at this point every week, but it's one of those things where it's like, I told you so. Like, the bigger he gets, I told you so, you know? And Jake something is a guy who, obviously a lot more exposure, but has had longer runs and is still currently, like, a part of TNA, and has been a long time part of BLP. Both of these guys have been a part of BLP pretty consistently for years. So Bishop with a big win over Jake something. And then the main event of the show, we had the BLP heavyweight title on the line. Raj Desi, who, of course, is the former Jinder Mahal, he defeats Dominic Guarini, who was replacing Kevin Koo. For those of you who don't know, Kevin Koo recently sustained an injury, and he had to pull off of upcoming bookings, which is wild because Koo, if y'all remember from just a few weeks ago, Koo wrestled Dana Makabe in Dana Makabe's retirement match at TWE, and Koo went into that match already with this injury, but because of what it meant to him and to Makabe for Koo to be his final opponent, Koo fought injured and got through that one and now is taking a break. But because of that, Kevin Koo was the reigning defending BLP heavyweight champion for quite some time. And because of course, Dominic Guarini being Koo's tag team partner for Violence's Forever, Guarini replaced Koo to defend the title against Raj. And Raj gets the win. The finish here was a running super kick by Raj, followed up by the Coloss, which is the same as y'all remember from the WWE, the Cobra Clutch Slam for the 1-2-3. Raj Desi is your BLP heavyweight champion. After the match, Josh Bishop gets into the ring, and the two of them have a stare down as the show closes out. But that's going to be big. I love that Bishop's going to have that match with Raj. I hope it puts more eyes on Bishop. And, it's one of those things where Bishop, it's rare that Bishop's, like, the smaller guy in the match. You know what I mean? And when he's wrestling guys like Jake something and Raj Desi, I like seeing that because I feel like that's more of what I'll see of him at, like, that next level, if that makes sense. Now, of course, wrestling, it's changed a lot, in recent years, of course. Like, you don't have to be a huge, muscled-up, dude to do this and to be, like, really successful at the highest level. You don't. Like, the body types and stuff, it's not the same as it was back in the 80s and 90s, you know what I mean? So you don't necessarily need to be that, but it's one of those things where Bishop, like, literally physically speaking, is a big fish in a smaller pond and has been for a while, and he's going to be a big fish in a big pond, once again, physically speaking. I'm interested to see him wrestling more guys that are kind of more his size. That's not to say he hasn't been doing that throughout his indie run, but y'all know what I mean by that. It'll just become a more regular thing the more he's on, larger companies and, once he's more on television and stuff like that, maybe for even bigger companies in the future. But I think it's going to be great to see him square up with Raj for a lot of reasons. And looking forward to it. So great show by Black Label Pro. Congrats to Mikey Blanton and their whole squad over there. Check that show out also on Triller TV Plus. Moving on, got results for HOG. This is House of Glory. High Intensity 2024, also available on Triller TV Plus. This was from the NYC Arena in New York City, New York, and it took place on July 26th. These are the results. Show started off with a pre-show match with the Cold-Blooded Killers, the team of Jay Armani and Raheem Royal, defeated Rivality, the team of MBM and Ultima Sombra. Once we got into the actual show, started off with the Matt Travis Memorial Battle Royal. The winner is Raheem Royal. The other participants are Inhel Jacquez, we had Ben Rutten, Billy M. Kidd, Corey Mack, Darren Richardson, Jay Armani, Jay Champagne, Jay Bougie, JJ Doze, Joey Silver, KB Prime, MBM, Mikey G, Mr. James, Oni King, Osito, Rashi Roche, Smiley, Smooth Blackman, Toasty Tom, and Ultima Sombra. The finish of this one came down to Raheem Royal in there with Jay Armani and Joe Silver. Jay Armani sacrifices himself by going over the top and taking out Silver so that Royal can get the win. So with that win, Royal can get a shot at any championship match in HOG. I think the implication here is that Royal and Armani will probably use it to get tag team title shots, probably, unless, you know, Royal uses it for himself, which then would be viewed as selfish and it'd cause a match between the two, potentially in a feud. So we'll see where it all goes. But thinking logically, because of the way that Armani helped Royal get the win and eliminated himself, you'd imagine he'd return the favor and they get a tag team title match, but we'll see how it plays out. After that, with the HOG Cruiserweight title on the line, Gringo Loco defends and retains over Kevin Knight. The finish of this one was both guys up at the top rope. Kevin Knight does like a springboard off the top and he's trying to do like a big Frankensteiner, but Gringo catches him and comes down with a top rope sit-out powerbomb for the 1-2-3. After that, we had the HOG tag team titles on the line in an I Quit match. This was the Cold-Blooded Killers, the team of Charles Mason and Nolo Catano. They defeat the main event team of Jay Lyon and Midas Black to become the new champions. Do my best to describe the finish here. Basically, Nolo Catano has a sword and he's holding it up to the neck of Jay Lyon. Charles Mason has Midas Black trapped in the corner, and basically, I've talked about this a lot recently, but basically, it's the we've been getting a lot of this lately. It was basically the scenario where to save Jay Lyon, Midas Black quit so that they wouldn't use the sword on Lyon. I've talked about this a lot lately about how, like, you know, like the I Quit match between AJ Styles and Cody Rhodes ended similarly, how the I Quit match between Effie and Mance Warner ended similarly. There was another one. Oh my gosh, what was it? There was one. Oh yeah, Blood and Guts, of course, that just happened, ended similarly. And then this was the same type of thing where, for whatever reason right now, we're seeing a lot of finishes in these types of scenarios where it isn't really about the person getting beat down to the point of quitting. It's more somebody quitting to save somebody else. So it's just worth mentioning. It's become a trend that's just, I don't know, I feel like I've seen enough of it. Maybe make a little bit of a change. I'm seeing it throughout like every company at this point now. Not to say I haven't seen that finish before. It just feels like we're getting a lot of it lately. After that, we had the HOG Crown Jewel title on the line. Zilla Fatu defeats Carlos Ramirez to become the new champion. The finish of this one was Idris Jackson getting in the ring while Ramirez was distracted and just nailing him in the back of the head with a chair. Zilla follows up with a Superman spike and then a top rope Fatu splash for the 1-2-3. Zilla Fatu ends the 238-day title reign of Ramirez, and he is your new Crown Jewel champion. After that, we had, I'll do my best to explain all this, we had Megan Bain over Diamond Farrago, who had Ultraviolent in her corner. So Bain gets the win here after hitting like a running, jumping lariat and then a tombstone pile driver for the three count. After the match, Jason Solomon, a.k.a. the Solo Monster, a.k.a. the commissioner of HOG, and also, in my opinion, one of the absolute best podcasters in the history of professional wrestling, he comes out and he starts a title match right now because the fans were promised the title match, Ultraviolet's the champion, and Ultraviolet's already out there with Diamond Virago. So Solo Monster starts the match, and immediately Megan Bain just grabs the Ultraviolet, hits the tombstone piledriver, 1-2-3, and we have a new HOG Women's World Champion, Megan Bain. After that, we have the HOG Heavyweight title on the line in a New York street fight. Mike Santana defends and retains over Steve Macklin. The finish of this one was a powerbomb through a door in the corner, followed up by a cannonball in the corner, and then a spinning lariat for the 1-2-3 to retain the title. In a match that we could very well see potentially in the near future for maybe the TNA World Championship. I mean, Mike Santana's right there, Steve Macklin's a perennial contender, so this is one we could very well see run back on a bigger stage, potentially with even higher stakes, but pretty high stakes here considering the HOG title was on the line and Mike Santana's doing a great job holding that belt. And the main event of the show, speaking of holding belts, we had the AEW World Champion, Swerve Strickland. This was non-title, of course. He defeats Amazing Red. Amazing Red, one of my favorite independent professional wrestlers of all time, one of my favorite wrestlers in general of all time, but credit him a lot for getting me into pro wrestling in the early 2000s. He, of course, behind the scenes is like the main man for HOG. And this was great stuff between these two guys, a current AEW champion, an absolute legend, in my opinion. The finish of this one was Amazing Red going for the Code Red. Strickland reverses it, follows up by snapping his arm like you've seen him do on TV, similar to like the way Penta does it with like the arm back, snaps it on the ground, follows up with a house call, and then pins Red for the 1-2-3. So Swerve Strickland gets the win over Amazing Red with the house call. And after the match, Swerve puts over Red on the microphone to close the show. Moving on, got results for ETU. This is Summer Madness 2. This is available on independentwrestling.tv. Use code FIGHTTALK. Unlike Twitter, I am sponsored by IWTV to endorse and tell y'all to use that code. So if you want to check out independentwrestling.tv, use the code FIGHTTALK on independentwrestling.tv or IWTV.live. Just let the platform know that I sent you their way. That is going to be included for TWE as well. We're going to talk TWE results right after this. Both shows available on IWTV. This starting off, ETU Summer Madness 2. This was from Ridgefield Park Knights of Columbus. That's the arena in Ridgefield Park, New Jersey. The show took place on July 27th. And these are the results. The company, of course, being Expect the Unexpected Wrestling. Show starts off with a Rey de Estillo first round Four Corners survival match. The first two matches were this. Basically, fatal four-way matches. First pin or submission wins. The winners of both of these matches are going to wrestle each other later on. So like kind of a mini tournament. Two four-way matches and then a singles match. So this one starts off with Hardway Holloway. We had Sam Holloway over Braden Toon, Joseph Alexander, and Yo-Yo. The finish of this one was a choke bomb by Holloway onto Alexander for the 1-2-3 to advance. After that, we had another one of these four-ways where Desmond Cole defeated Alec Price, Derek Dillinger, and Rico Gonzalez. The finish here was Dillinger hitting a second rope bubble bomb onto Rico. And then right when they both hit the ground, Desmond Cole comes off the top rope and hits a swanton onto Dillinger and then pins Dillinger for the 1-2-3. So it's going to be Holloway versus Desmond Cole later in the show. After that, we had Jannai Kai over Rachel Armstrong. The finish here was that running corner super kick she's been doing. Looks really brutal, just stiff. Basically knocks Rachel out, and then she pins her for the three count. After that, we had the Killionaires Club, the team of Jay Bougie and PB Smooth, over Fresh Air, Junior Benito, and McCray Martin. Finish here, I'll do my best to explain. So Fresh Air is about to get the win, but before the ref can count three, Miracle Generation on the outside, and Kylan King pulls the referee out, so they can't count the three count. As this is happening, PB Smooth hits the penthouse, which is like a, I always call it the You Can't See Me bomb. It's like the You Can't See Me setup, kind of like the Blue Thunder bomb, but it's like a reverse version, almost like a power, like a Blue Thunder power bomb, almost the best way I can describe it. Anyway, that PB Smooth hits that, I believe, onto McCray Martin, if I remember correctly, and then pins them for the 1-2-3. I can't remember what theme song Fresh Air used for this show. I think they used Jump Around, which is a sweet song, but I love when they used Hot Stepper. And partly because I love the song, but also one of my favorite tag teams of all time is Public Enemy. And I know a lot of people hearing that are going to be like, are you serious? But listen, I was a kid. Once again, born in 88, so I was a kid in the 90s. I watched them in ECW, WWF, WCW. I was a huge fan. And their ECW theme song was Hot Stepper, so like there's that little bit of a link there, too. So anyway, I'm biased. I like that theme song. I'm a big fan of Fresh Air, and a big fan of everyone involved in this, all six people, whether it's Killionaires Club, Fresh Air, or Miracle Generation. Speaking of Miracle Generation, after the match, they attack Fresh Air. They are still the IWTV Independent Wrestling Tag Team Champions, by the way, Miracle Generation, in case you forgot. After that, we have the ETU Key to the East number one contender match. Brandon Kirk defeats Joshua Bishop. The finish here was Bishop running at Kirk, but referee Shiny Shoes being basically getting in the way, and Kirk uses the distraction to do a schoolboy roll-up and then get his feet on the ropes with extra leverage. So Brandon Kirk gets the dirty pin victory over Joshua Bishop. After that, we had Casey Catall, a.k.a. Casey Kirk. She defeats Hyun. The finish of this one was Hyun hitting a spear and then going for a jaded glam slam. You know the move. Jade Cargill's finisher. Taya Valkyrie's finisher. Y'all know the move I'm talking about. Beth Phoenix's finisher. She goes for that. And Hyun goes for that. And Casey Catall reverses Hyun with a victory roll to get the pin. After that, we had Mike Santana over Matt Mikowski. The finish of this one, basically the finishing sequence, Mikowski has Santana in an armbar, and Santana saves himself by getting one foot on the bottom rope to break the hold. This leads to Mikowski running at Santana, and Santana hitting him with a boot in the corner. They both run the ropes, like, kind of back and forth, ducking some moves, get the momentum going, and Santana, on the rebound, hits a discus clothesline, 1-2-3. Santana gets the win over Mikowski. After that, we had the finals of the Rey de Estevo, which was the two Fatal 4-Way matches. This is the finals of that with the two winners. We had Desmond Cole over Sam Holloway. The finish of this one was a tornado kick followed up by a top rope swanton bomb for the 1-2-3 for Desmond Cole to win. And then the main event of the show, we have the ETU Key to the East title on the line. Marcus Mathers defends and retains over Titus Alexander in a battle of two of the best young talents in the entire world, in my opinion. Finish here was Mathers hitting a Bozo Buster followed up by a top rope 450 splash to retain the title for the pinfall victory. After the match, Brandon Kirk, Gabe Sky, Austin Luke, and Matt Mikowski all attack Marcus Mathers. Some people try saving from the out or from the back, but just to no avail. The team's just too powerful, and we have just a new power group here of Brandon Kirk, Gabe Sky, Austin Luke, Matt Mikowski, and they're setting up Brandon Kirk versus Marcus Mathers for the ETU Key to the East Championship. They wind up hanging him upside down by the ropes on the outside. So pretty gnarly visual to end the show there for ETU. Once again, it's available over on independentwrestling.tv. Moving on, speaking of IWTV, got TWE. This is Total Wrestling Entertainment. TWE Chattanooga. This is Red Bank Roulette. Show took place on July 27th. And these are the results. All these pretty much had like some sort of like stipulation throughout the show too, with it being the roulette theme. So I'll let y'all watch the show if you want to see every specific rule set and gimmick and everything throughout the show. But I'll tell you what it was, and I'll give you the winners and losers here. Y'all got to do the rest if you want to watch this show. Check it out. Use code Fight Talk and independentwrestling.tv. Show started off with a 1992 WCW rules match where Anakin Murphy defeated Jared Diaz. The finish of this one was Murphy hitting Jarrett Diaz with a top rope double stomp, but it was like kind of like a standing hunched over version where Murphy hit Diaz between the shoulder blades and then pinned them for the 1-2-3. After that, we had a Falls Count Anywhere match where Sean Campbell defeated Tommy Davis. The finish here was a pile driver on the entrance ramp by Campbell to Davis for the 1-2-3. Shout out to the homie Moe's, who laughs hysterically at the finish of this one, watching his KOBK brethren being very violent here, as the Killer Be Killed crew tends to be known to do. So good stuff there, Sean Campbell with the W. After that, we had the TWE tag team titles on the line. Totally Shook, the team of Jameson Shook, who I mentioned we just interviewed on the Spotlight, check it out. Jameson Shook, along with Finesse, they defend and retain their TWE tag team titles over Thunder and Steel, the team of Sigrid, Daughter of Tyr, and Will of Steel. The finish of this one was basically like, it was like a curb stomp and sent onto the back kind of double team move by Shook and Finesse onto Will of Steel to get the 1-2-3 and retain their titles. After that, we had the Gig City title on the line in a swag in the bag match. Eden Monroe defends and retains their title over Nikki XS. Finish here with a curb stomp for the three count. After that, we had a doors match where all doors were legal, basically like a tables match, but it didn't mean that when you went through one of those, it ended. It was still pin or submission, but you were allowed to use doors. This was Sawyer Wreck over Casey Owens. Sawyer gets the win, hitting a Baldo bomb, the double choke slam onto Owens. Sawyer set up a door like on the second rope and put Owens through it, and then pinned them for the 1-2-3. Baldo bomb is the way to go. I've said it 1,000 times. This is the last time hopefully we'll ever say it. Sawyer Wreck with the choke slam. I've never been a big fan of Sawyer's choke slam. Just don't think it looks great. Not enough air. A lot of that's probably on the opponent, but it happens a lot. I've harped on it plenty on this show. Just go back and listen to past episodes. But I think the way to go is the Baldo bomb. It looks a lot better. It looks brutal. And it's also a differentiator a little bit, because a lot of people do the choke slam. Not a lot of people do the Baldo bomb. I think it also gives Sawyer a little bit of a leg up when it comes to that, too. Just a little more original. I like it. Sawyer's in for a big career. I mean, for sure. A ton of talent there. They're different. They bring a lot to the table and get very over. So it's one of those things where I'm looking out for Sawyer, because I know there's big things coming. And, you know, the last thing you want is like your finisher to be the problem. You know what I mean? So that said, Sawyer Wreck with the win over Casey Owens. Baldo bomb through a door for the 1-2-3. After that, we had a knockout or tap out match where Manders defeats the Luminary. The finish of this one was Manders hitting the Luminary with a wicked lariat and knocks him out. So Manders gets the win by knockout with the lariat. After that, we had a no rope breaks match where Jaden Newman defeated Skunk Rocker. The finish here was Newman locking in, I always forget what you call it, but it's like a reverse Boston Crab where like Jaden's body is reversed. So instead of looking away from Skunk Rocker, he's looking towards Skunk Rocker, and Skunk grabs the bottom rope, and because there's no rope breaks, the pain eventually just forces them to pass out. So Jaden gets the win by technical submission, ref stoppage, just passed out completely to the pain with the submission. Jaden Newman gets the win. And the main event of the show, we had the Choo Choo Rumble match. This was Shug D over Anakin Murphy, Daniel Starling, Aaron Wade, Casey Owens, Noah Vail, Finesse, Skunk Rocker, and Tommy Davis. Noah Vail's name just always gets me, the saying that out loud. Anyways, the finish here, this came down to basically what winds up happening is Aaron Wade thinks that they've eliminated Shug D. And of course, Aaron Wade won the SCI Rumble this year for 2024. Used that to get into the SCI tournament. Was unsuccessful in winning the tournament, but, you know, huge win getting that SCI Rumble victory, and especially in that building there in TWE where so much of these companies are linked to that we're talking about. So Aaron Wade thinks they've eliminated Shug D. Shug D skins the cat and gets back over the top rope, and Wade was celebrating on the middle rope, and Shug D comes up behind him, knocks him over the top, and Shug D wins the Choo Choo Rumble to close out TWE. Once again, that show is available over on independentwrestling.tv. Moving on, got some quick results for Glory Pro. This is Bleed American. This show has not aired yet, and as I mentioned, I'm guessing, and I don't know, but I'm guessing that these matches were all taped and will probably air on future episodes of Glory Pro Ascend on their YouTube channel. So I'll keep y'all posted on those. We cover that show pretty regular here on the Weekender. These are all the results for the taping of Bleed American from July 28th. This took place out of St. Louis, Missouri in the Casa Loma Ballroom. These are the results. We had Jay Martson over Amaya Belmont, Cordell Kane, and Solomon Tupu in a four-way match. We had Chris Hendricks over Ming-Jae Lee, Raheem De La Suede over Ethan Price, Xavier Walker over Jabari King, Dan the Dad and Cody Lane over Rohit Raju and Zico in a tag team match. We had Jake Something over the Deliverer Moses. The Glory Pro Women's World Crown Title Tournament first round match where Maggie Lee defeated Nikki XS. We had the United Glory Tag Team titles on the line. The Philly Marino Experience, the team of Philly C and Marino T, they defend and retain their titles over the new guys, the team of Jake Bosch and Scott Stanley. We had another World Crown Tournament first round match for Glory Pro Women's World Crown. This was Tootie Lynn over Shaza McKenzie. Then the main event of the show for the Crown and Glory Championship, Jake Parnell defeats Alex Shelley, but it says it's by disqualification. So, interested to see how all these matches go down. I'm sure there's a lot of great matches in here. The in-ring quality of Glory Pro is always top-notch as far as like any independent wrestling company you can find, in my opinion. So, I'm looking forward to seeing these matches when they're available. And as they become available, I'll cover them for y'all, and hopefully they're available for free over on the Glory Pro YouTube channel. Whether they are or not, there's a lot of free content over there on that Glory Pro YouTube, so definitely check that out and support Glory Pro Wrestling. Moving on, got some results for NXT Level Up. Running kind of low on time, so I won't go too into anything but just the finishes of these matches with the winners and losers. So this show is NXT Level Up, aired on July 26th, and I always watch it on Hulu, so that's where I recommend y'all check it out. These are the results for the three matches. Show started off with Jada Parker over Layla Diggs. The finish here was a knee to the face after a teardrop for the 1-2-3 for Jada Parker. After that, we had Dion Lennox over Uriah Connors. The two of them have had a mini feud that started a couple weeks ago where they tag teamed with one another, and Dion wouldn't go along with Uriah's cheating, and it cost them a tag team match. Since then, Uriah has been doing nothing but losing, which has been kind of interesting, considering he's a fourth-generation Finley. Came with quite a bit of hype coming off the indies. Had a really short indie run, though, but that said, doesn't really matter, if I'm being honest, as far as like a win-loss record on Level Up. You know, I mean, Solo Sikoa wasn't viewed as like a big deal when he was on Level Up, and, you know, look where he's at in the WWE system, you know what I mean? So that's not really a bad thing. I'm just interesting. I'm kind of surprised to see Connors taking so many L's, but at the same time, there's a really bright future, I think, for Dion Lennox. He's a good-looking dude, very athletic, got good size, looks like he's a quick learner. So this was cool seeing like this little mini-feud that's budded between these two guys. The finish here was Connors doing a roll-up and trying to use the ropes, but the referee catches him. And right after that, Lennox does a roll-up and pins Connors, so gives him a taste of his own medicine. And Dion Lennox gets the win over Uriah Connors, but I'd imagine this will continue going forward. And it's good to see any kind of, you know, feuds going on in Level Up, you know, something beyond just random matches and just progression of moves and gimmicks and stuff like that. Like, this is good stuff. And the main event of the show, we had Dante Chen over Cutler James. The finish here was the Chental Touch, which I always call the Hadouken, for the 1-2-3. Dante Chen, he's getting dubs on Level Up. I don't watch the Tuesday show often enough to know if he's really been a part of that recently or not, but he's a guy who I've said for a while, he's had a lot of potential. He's had a ton of progression in the last couple years in the WWE system. So, you know, I'm interested to see where he goes going forward, because he's starting to get into that kind of rhythm of like, I don't know if this is good or bad, you know what I mean? But you don't want to get stuck, right? You don't want to be the guy who's like just winning on Level Up, winning on Level Up, winning on Level Up, but like they have no plan for you on Tuesdays. They have no plan on you, for you rather, on, you know, Raw or SmackDown and stuff. So hopefully just keeps getting wins and it turns into something for him. But solid episode as usual for NXT Level Up. Moving on, got some quick results for y'all for NWA Power. This show aired on July 23rd, and it's available on the CW app and on their website, so that's where I recommend y'all check it out completely for free. The results are as follows. We had One Force Trauma, the team of Carnage and Damage, along with Aaron Stevens, over the Heavenly Butterfly, the team of Fubu Andre and Tony Donati. Next match we had was the NWA National Heavyweight Championship. Tom Latimer is the champion, of course, going to this match. He wrestles Kerry Morton. It goes to a 10-minute time limit draw, so Latimer retains the belt, but Kerry Morton goes the distance, and of course Kerry is coming off of winning the Crockett Cup tournament, so big stuff, you know, happening for Kerry Morton in the NWA, especially if he winds up winning the national championship, because they're clearly setting up another match between the two that's going to a draw. After that, we had the NWA World Women's Championship on the line. Kenzie Page defends and retains over Misa Kate. And the NWA World Heavyweight Championship was on the line in the main event of the show. EC3 defends and retains over Wrecking Ball Ligurski. So, big implications as far as like the stuff happening on NWA this week. Obviously, I was mentioned rather, Kerry Morton looks like he's in for an even bigger push coming off of the win of the Crockett Cup of the Southern Six. I'd imagine. I mean, I could see him maybe even beating Latimer for that national championship potentially in the near future. And then of course, we had Kenzie Page and Ethan or Ethan well Ethan Carter the third, but EC3. Both of them retain their World Heavyweight and World Women's Championships. So that is NWA Power for this week. And let's wrap today's show up with some quick predictions for WWE SummerSlam. As I mentioned at the top of the show, I will be doing even more detailed predictions of this on Thursday morning on the Spotlight on Fightful with Jeremy Lambert. That's youtube.com/Fightful. We'll be giving away WrestleRumble entries, so shout out to WrestleRumble.com and join us live because you might win a free entry that can lead to some big prizes. So these are my quick predictions for what I know to be going down at WWE SummerSlam, and this is just based on whatever is on Wikipedia as of right now. There's probably stuff I'm going to miss that has not been added yet, but as of right now, I've got 7 matches listed, and these are my predictions. They're actually all pretty tough for the most part. They really are. All right, so Damian Priest versus Gunther for the World Heavyweight title. I'm gonna go Gunther. I feel like he needs that title. Damian Priest has done a pretty good job, all things considered. But yeah, I gotta go Gunther. I would have went Gunther over anybody in this situation outside of maybe Cody. But obviously that's not the route they're going for Gunther. So I'm gonna say Gunther wins the World Heavyweight title. I'm gonna take Nia Jax over Bayley to win the World Women's Championship. Bayley is a made woman in WWE forever as one of their top people, and I'd be totally happy to see her retain here. But Nia, I gotta give her credit. She has done a lot better since before she left the company, and I like her run, coming off of the Queen of the Ring. So I'm gonna take Nia Jax, and that puts a lot of stakes on it too. Like if both the Queen and King of the Ring both wind up winning the tournaments and then winning the championships at SummerSlam, that'd be pretty huge. Wouldn't be surprised if Bayley retained. I'd be way more surprised to see Nia win than Gunther win, if that makes sense. Like I'm pretty dead set on Gunther winning. Liv Morgan versus Rhea Ripley, Liv defending the World Women's Championship that Rhea technically never lost because of injury. I love this whole story between her and the two of them and Dominic Mysterio. I've joked before and I've seen some people on social media say the same. I really think it'd be funny to have Liv Morgan versus Rhea Ripley in a ladder match for custody of Dominic, how we saw, back in the day when he was a kid, Ray versus Eddie in that ladder match for his custody. I'm gonna say Liv Morgan retains here, but Rhea will eventually get that back. But I'll say Liv wins this one. But I think Dom accidentally costs her or maybe just sides with Liv. We've got Logan Paul defending the WWE United States Championship against LA Knight. Man, is this where they pull the trigger on LA Knight? Probably. The more I see this, the more I'm like, are they gonna do this many title changes? I'll probably backtrack and probably take Bayley over Nia. I don't know. I'm gonna stick with my guns. I'm gonna stay with Nia. So I'm gonna go LA Knight over Logan Paul. I wanna take Logan, but I feel like they've been building this for a long time. SummerSlam is the right place, the right time for LA Knight to get that win. There's gonna be a lot of like mainstream eyes on this too. With SummerSlam being such a big show and LA and Logan Paul being such a big celebrity and everything, and there's gonna be a lot of social media clips that come out of this. I'm gonna say LA Knight wins and helps his megastar status. Man, Braun Breaker. I'm gonna take Braun Breaker over Sami Zayn. I think Sami Zayn loses the Intercontinental Championship. I think Cody Rhodes is gonna retain. So I mean, really looking at this, I guess Cody and Liv are the only ones who retain. Maybe that'll be a theme where Rhea also wins. Like everyone loses their championships except for Cody, maybe. I could see that maybe happening. But I gotta go Cody Rhodes over Solo Sikoa to retain the Undisputed WWE Championship. Y'all know me, I'm gonna take Cody over anybody, obviously, in a title match right now. But man, that'd be wild if they had Solo win that thing with all the stories you can do there. But no, it's gotta be the American Nightmare. And the last one I've got here, we got a singles match. CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre, Seth freaking Rollins, the special guest referee. This is a really hard one to call. Personally speaking, I'd have McIntyre win this one. Basically, see how Punk reacts to it on screen and off screen, and then have Punk get that win back maybe at the Royal Rumble. Maybe WrestleMania. I mean, they got triple threats. They have singles matches that are also going to include Rollins with this mix too. So there's a lot they can do between now, Royal Rumble, and WrestleMania. I'd have McIntyre win this one, but my official prediction is still Drew McIntyre. I'm a hater. So that's going to do it for this episode of the Fightful Select Weekender podcast. I've been Steven Jensen. Please follow me on X at @FightTalk_. Please hit the like button here on FightfulSelect.com. Please watch the Spotlight every Thursday morning, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time on the main Fightful YouTube channel. And please use code FightTalk on independentwrestling.tv. Until next weekend, enjoy professional wrestling.